Starting out this morning, higher education has long been seen as a ticket out of poverty for low-income students. And in today's competitive work environment, a college degree is more important than ever for securing a place in the middle class. The number of low-income students enrolling in four-year schools has grown around 20% over the past several decades. But while more of those kids are making it to college, graduating is still a struggle. Just 34% of low-income first-generation students graduated from a public university in 6 years or less, according to the Pell Institute. Joining us now to talk about some of the barriers low-income students face and how Michigan State University is working to change the outcomes from those students is June Hewitt, provost of the university, and Leo Ornelas, a senior majoring in criminal justice. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get to the solution, let's take a look at the problem. What kind of challenges do low-income students face when they get to college?
In many cases, low-income students have graduated from high schools that have themselves been low-income schools and have had few resources. And so students may come slightly underprepared, certainly with fewer opportunities perhaps for advanced placement courses or the other kinds of experiences that students have had at schools that are better funded. So they begin, not always, but often, they begin with some vulnerabilities, academic vulnerabilities.
And how is MSU addressing some of these problems?
Well, like all universities, we have tried to provide developmental courses and provide academic support. But in a large institution like ours, or most of the public research institutions across the country, that's been very difficult because we are so large and our students are dispersed across large campuses. And so thinking about how you create a network where you can actually provide the services students need has been one of our challenges.
I can see where that'd be pretty daunting given the size of MSU. Leo, can you tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from? And are you a first-generation college student?
Yes, I'm a first-generation college student, and I come from the southwest region of Michigan. It's a small town, Bangor, Michigan. And as Provost June was explaining, this school didn't have the right preparation for college, which was a challenge my first year at Michigan State. I didn't get the same preparation compared to another big school would have given their students.
So what was your experience like when you first got to campus?
When I first got to campus, it was a very challenging experience. The first year was a lot of ups and downs and trying to learn how this college environment works, which, took some time. And eventually, I was very privileged in a way to kind of be able to understand how this works. And it's gotten me here to this day.
Yeah. So coming to a university as big as MSU from a small town high school, can you tell us just like one moment that you remember specifically, like where you were going, what is going on here?
Oh, definitely. I remember my graduating class was 60 students.
Wow.
And the first class I had was over 500 students.
Oh,
so
man.
I was like, wow, this is extremely large. How am I going to stand out in this environment compared to the 60 students I graduated with? So that was one of the biggest challenges.
Wow. June, how did the Neighborhood Initiative get started? If you could explain a little bit about what that is.
Sure. The neighborhoods are really, a logical evolution on the Michigan State University campus. We've always had this asset of residence halls. And since the 60s, we've also had classrooms in our residence halls, which is actually unusual. We don't think so, but across the country, people find it unusual. And so what we decided to do was to create within those 24 residence halls smaller communities. And so that became the basis of the neighborhoods. But the neighborhoods were never about just making something smaller or creating communities. It was always designed to be an infrastructure for the kinds of support that students would need transitioning to MSU. So within each of those neighborhoods, there's a community center, or we call it an engagement center. And in that place are all of the kinds of resources that students need. And it's all students. It isn't particularly first generation or low income, although it's helpful for students, but it's wherever students find themselves transitioning to the university. So the engagement centers have math learning centers and writing centers. They have health centers, advisors, academic advisors, counselors, financial aid, a whole variety of support systems. But given the number of students that we have and the ways in which they each come with a particular set of needs, the more daunting piece was how you would ever staff these in ways that would really make them successful. And so most universities, for reasons that don't make sense outside the university, are siloed. So you have people who deal with academic affairs, student affairs, and then residential affairs. And we pulled back and said all of these offices are dealing with the same students, and students don't see their lives divided into those ways. If we're blurring the lines between living and learning, as we are in the residence halls, then we need to blur the lines across those silos. And so all of those individuals, all of those employees who come to work every morning at MSU now come with one goal in mind, and that's how do we support the academic success of the students that we meet today. And then we've recently begun to deploy some of our most experienced students to help, and that's where Leo comes in.
In what capacity do you do?
Currently I'm doing a pilot program called the Spartan Success Coach, and we help first-year students that have been put on the Spartan Success Scholars Initiative, and we work alongside with them, we mentor them, we kind of give them the advice that was given to us when we came in, and sometimes this advice could be very small things, but like these small things make a big difference in their education.
What was it that made you wanted to get involved in this?
The reason I became involved with this was my first year, I received so much support from the university and other students, I thought it was my turn to kind of give back to incoming students since I got so much support in the beginning.
You talk about, some of the small things that people need to know that can make a big difference. Other than the obvious size and numbers of people at the university, what were some of the small things maybe that you struggled with when you got to campus?
Probably one of the hardest things I probably struggled with was just some of the classwork. Some stuff like math, writing, which I didn't get prepared to be at the college level. So just going through the different resources available at the neighborhood, such as the Writing Center, the Math Learning Center, small things like that, you know, actually made a big difference.
And so how did the Neighborhood Initiative and the support you found at MSU make that transition easier from high school to college?
Yep. I guess the thing that, you know, the neighborhood pretty much has everything you need. This small environment that provides you with all you need, like tutoring, health, and stuff like that. So it all comes like all at one single place instead of, you know, me crossing the entire campus to go look for something. So they make these resources visible to you.
Leo is an example of the student now not having to go find resources. The resources find the student, and Leo's part of that deployment. And as he talked about the support, it really now is ubiquitous. If you are seen in the health center, someone asks you how you're doing in your classes. And if you sit down at a table and there's a staff person eating lunch with you, they may ask you what you're studying. And so it really is thinking about how in all the places students are providing the kinds of support that may encourage and help, again, especially first-generation low-income students, but really all of our students.
We're talking to Michigan State University Provost June Hewitt and MSU Senior Leo Ornelas. June, what happens once students are no longer freshmen in the program? Maybe they've moved off campus. How can they continue to get that kind of support that you're describing that they get living in the neighborhood structure?
Well, a number of our students spend a second year on campus, so it's a pretty easy transition for them. But what we have encouraged is for students to always come home. And when we talked about the neighborhoods, that was our theory, that if students felt connected in a neighborhood, if they met the individuals who worked in the neighborhood, that they would always feel like they could come back. And that's exactly what's happened, particularly around healthcare. Once they have created a relationship with a healthcare provider in the neighborhoods, they're much more likely, though everyone, of course, can go to the central healthcare facility on campus, students tend to come back to the people that they know and get advice from the people that they've met. So it's been a fairly smooth transition. And, of course, by the time a student is a junior or a senior, they're embedded in their disciplinary college, and we've kind of done the handoff. But they're always welcome home, and that was the sense we were trying to create.
The struggles of adjusting to college for first-generation and low-income students aren't always about academics, but also sometimes just about a culture shock and feeling like they don't belong. Leo, is that something you felt here or had to adjust to?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the thing that, you know, best, like, makes this work is having a support system there for you. And I was privileged to have different support systems, and I know the neighborhoods was one of these support systems that I had throughout my first year.
June, you mentioned that, you know, you see some continuity in kids coming home, as it were. What other kinds of results have you seen from the neighborhood initiative so far?
Well, it's very early. We certainly haven't graduated. We've only had all five neighborhoods up a year. We haven't graduated yet our first class through the neighborhoods. But even from last spring, what we learned was that students who used the resources in the neighborhood had higher grade point averages, that low-income students were 20% less likely to be on probation after the first semester, which is really critical to have a good start and not find oneself so immediately in sort of the GPA hole where it's so difficult to climb out, and discouraging. And that's really what we're worried about as well, because it is a social and emotional adjustment to college, not just an academic one. And then we also have seen an increased retention rate among low-income first-generation students from first to second year. So that's a trend we think we can build on, and that's what we're committed to do. There is a significant six-year graduation gap, and we are committed as an institution to give every student who is admitted an equal chance to be successful. And we expect that within the next 3 to 6 years, we will begin to close the gap. That's our commitment. We think we now are poised to do it with the neighborhoods. We have faculty who are committed to being part of this, because in the end, we look to them. It is their strong teaching. It's their guidance of students. It's their encouragement, their inspiration that really gets students through. This is a backup. We're the backup singers, and the faculty are really leading this.
Here's a question for both of you. What do you think is at stake when it comes to making sure that low-income kids are graduating? Why is it important, not just to the student, but to the society at large?
Most definitely. I mean, it's definitely a good thing. I mean, I feel life sometimes is about opportunities, and with these given opportunities in order to graduate, it's a lot better. And hopefully one day, like Provost June said, this gap closes, you know, and that's what I think about it.
Well, clearly the state, our country, needs more well-educated, a skilled workforce. But we're also very concerned about students leaving school who haven't completed and walking away with debt. Again, that's devastating for the student, for their family, and it's such a loss to the community. So if we've nurtured students to this point, we truly believe that we're helping increase the value of their education, their lives. And I think it's even broader than that. I think the students who are here who are not first generation, not low income, have to see the value of doing this. This is, in some ways, this is a social justice issue too. And if we don't develop this sense of inclusiveness and fairness and respect for the backgrounds of everyone, then we've really failed to help students learn what they really should have learned at Michigan State University.
All right. We've been talking to Michigan State University Provost June Hewitt and MSU Senior Leo Ornelas. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.